Welcome to WGMC at 50, a historical podcast series reflecting back on the five decades that WGMC Jazz 90.1 has been on the air in Rochester. WGMC 90.1 FM signed on for the very first time on November 1st, 1973.
We now commence with our first day of broadcast.
I'm Rob Linton, station manager of Jazz 90.1, and I've spent the past few months talking with WGMCers, past and present, and those who have had a hand in getting this radio station to where it is today, again, celebrating our 50th golden anniversary.
Welcome to the first broadcast by the Monroe Educational Radio Association Network.
We'd like to thank everybody who has participated in this series so far, and we invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy an oral history of WGMC. At 50. Welcome to WGMC at 50. I'm Rob Linton, and today joined by one of our current DJs here at Jazz 90.1 and one of the favorites, many would argue, Otto Bruno. Otto, thanks for hanging out and chatting with us.
Many would argue about Otto Bruno. That's true.
Well, that's a whole different podcast, I feel like. Well, anyway, thank you again for coming in today.
I'm thrilled.
When I was, you know, putting together this podcast series, I said, you know, of all the folks that we have here, I've got to get Otto on the air, because not only do you have a great story about coming here and how you get involved with the station, but you've been here a long time and you've seen this place through a lot of changes. So to kind of start off, let's go back with how you got involved with Jazz 90.1 back in the day and whenabouts it was, because you're saying you're coming up on 25 years, right?
Yes, I'm coming up on 25 years on the air.
Right.
But I first heard of WGMC, which was then WGMC.
Right.
You know, they hadn't coined the Jazz 90.1. I guess it was early 1998. Okay. And it was because my brother-in-law, Greg Noto, listened to the station mm-hmm. all the time, and he told me about it. I was working at the time. I don't know why, you know, I'm not a big volunteer, but but he told me, he thought it would be something I'd be interested in, so I said, sure. So I went in, and at that time it was Eric Gruner and, I can't remember the Cheryl something?
Cheryl Monk.
Cheryl Monk, yes, absolutely.
Yep.
Eric Gruner and Cheryl Monk were the two people. And I went in to meet with them, which was at the old, what's the school?
It used to be Cardinal Mooney.
Well, I know it was Cardinal Mooney, but it wasn't that then.
It was Apollo Middle.
Apollo, there you go. That's what it was. And they were way up on the third floor. Mm-hmm. I don't remember an elevator because I remember walking up those steps every Sunday then when I started doing the show. But yeah, and I sat down and talked to them, and Eric asked me if I'd be interested in being on the air, and I said yes, because I had done a little radio in college.
Right.
I wasn't a DJ, but I did like the sports mm-hmm. news type of thing on Monday mornings. So, and I liked it. So he said, well, we really don't have a space right now. And he says, what were you thinking of? I said, well, now, at this time, like I say, it's 1998. I can't remember. I know they had a Turkish program.
Yep.
They had the Polka Bandstand, mm-hmm. of course. They might have had another one, but I don't know.
Well, we had Lithuanian, which we still do.
That's right. Okay, maybe that. So I said, you know, you have all these different multicultural programs. Mm-hmm. I said, and you're sitting right here in Greece, and you're sitting in Rochester, New York, which is one of the top 10 cities for Italian immigration.
Right.
In the 20th century. I said, I'd like to do like an Italian show. And he said, I think he knew of Joe Capogreco, who for years has done an Italian language program. So he plays, you know, mm-hmm. he speaks Italian. He doesn't do it in English. And I said, no. I'd want to do American standards or American jazz or popular music, I wanted with Italian-American artists,
basically.
Sinatra and Dean Martin and, mm-hmm. you know, people like that. So he says, okay, well, we don't have any space for you right now. He says, so, you know, is there other things you can do? And I said, well, I've done some writing for different things. So they had the newsletter at the time.
Right.
There was we didn't have a web presence or anything like that in 98. So I remember, this is the only way I know, remember the date. The first thing I wrote for them was basically an appreciation, an obit on Sinatra, who had died in May of 98.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And they had a newsletter. I don't know if it was summer or fall or whatever. And right. they asked me if I would, you know, write something on him. So that was the first thing I did. And then I did a couple little things here and there. Not that much then. And then he called me in late 99. So over a year later. And he said, hey, remember that show you talked about? I said, what show? I had forgotten. And he reminded me, he said, would you still be interested in doing that? Because we have some time. I'm like, yeah, sure. So, of course, you know, I didn't. It was crazy stupid because we had a, what did we have? 6-year-old, a 4-year-old, and oh, no, wow. no, 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and my wife was pregnant with our third.
Oh, wow.
And
yes,
I'm volunteering to leave on Sundays, right? And yeah, so I came in here for, you know, about a month or so watching him and watching other people and practicing then a little bit. And then I went on the air January, I think it's the 25th of 2000. Mm-hmm. And very.
My birthday.
There you go. Mm-hmm. There you have it.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, because when we had the 10th anniversary for my show here, that was your. I won't say what it was.
Well, I'll tell you that I was 20 when you went on the air then.
Yeah, well, I didn't really need to hear that. But, but yeah, and like much like this station, the show has changed quite a bit over 25 years.
Well, you know, you talk about that, and before we started today, I was saying that, you know, you have seen, just like so many of the folks that I've talked to so far, you've seen this place go through a lot of evolution over time and a lot of changes. What's that been like for you to have started back when it was so relatively small to now the station that we become today?
Well, the character I play in life is a braggadocio, you know, kind of a guy full of himself who thinks he's whatever. And in real life, I've been told this by numerous people. I'm a very poor self-promoter, and I don't think anything I do is really very important.
You got to add cynic in there, but go on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm proud of that part.
You're right.
Yeah, you know, when I started, it was, I mean, people always say to me, which I find hilarious, because I've never been nervous to be on mic, but people said, oh my God, aren't you nervous? You know, all those people. Well, when I started, I think there were 5 people listening to me.
Right.
And 4 of those were relatives.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was very relaxed. There wasn't the same. And then those early years that I was here, you know, there was a lot of fundraising and mm-hmm. politicking and all kinds of things going on to get this new tower because. Yeah. You would know better than me, but what it was like nothing the wattage originally. What was it?
Well, when you got here, it would have been 2,050 watts.
Was it so, that much
yeah.
even?
Yep, yep.
I felt like it was even lower than that when I got here. But
yeah. And then 105.1 came in at some point, and Eric did tell me when that happened, and I forget what he said. Were you guys 105.1 at that point or not yet?
I think we were, yes.
So
we
were both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were both at
yeah.
that time. And
by the way, for those people that are listening, the reason the station actually used to have 2 frequencies, 90.1 hit mainly and only the west side and maybe a little bit into the city. And Eric Gerner, who was a GM at the time, arranged to have what's called a repeater set up out in the east side, out in Victor.
Oh, okay.
And got that as 105, or translator, I should say, got that as 105.1. So people east side listen to 105.1, west side listen to 90.1.
Oh,
yeah. That's
okay.
why that was done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense. Yeah. So, you know, and like I say, also when I first started here, it was in that old Apollo school. Mm-hmm. It was the 3rd floor. It was
a former nun's kitchen.
Was it really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was definitely smaller mm-hmm. than where we are now, including the booth was definitely small. The booth was like a broom closet.
Booth, you turned around too fast, you'd take something off the table.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and as I say, I do, you know, my fans may not know this, but I'm not the most punctual person in the world. So I remember many a Sunday dashing mm-hmm. up three flights of stairs. I'm also not in the best of shape.
Yeah, there are times that you cut a little close, don't you?
I remember doing that in the wintertime with like a heavy coat and boots and all that stuff. But yeah, it's, I mean, and then, God, I hate to do this. you came in, and of course, I always change warily.
Yes, you don't change well.
No.
Yeah, and actually, that's another thing that you and I get along very well about is neither of us like change.
Well, I don't mind change. As I get older, I'm better with change. What I don't like is change for the sake of change.
Gotcha.
And you were young, which, you know, obviously I couldn't stand that.
24.
And you were new and all that. So I was very wary of you. And again, God, it kills me to say this, but... you have done an incredible job bringing the station to where it is now.
I appreciate that.
Really incredible. I mean, I'm really, you couldn't give me your job for anything.
It has been
anything in the world.
It has been a challenging, it'd be 19 years for me in November. It's been a challenging almost 20 years, but. One thing I remember about your show, and you and I talk about this during the pledge drives as well. So the way that I first discovered 90.1 was the fact that my father was a listener. So he always had 90.1 on in his vehicle and in his shop. And I would go over to his house to do whatever, to see him or whatever. I'm like, Dad, how can you listen to this station? It's so sleepy. You know, turn on, you know, PXY or one of those stations. And, you know, I would often go over there on the weekends and would hear your show. And I would listen. And I, you know, I've always been a huge, you know, Sinatra fan and, you know, that kind of thing. And so I was listening to it. My father always raved about your particular show. So then fast forward to getting a job here. You're one of the first people that I knew of. And, you know, you and I have developed quite a great relationship over the years. And it's been kind of a fun full circle kind of thing, I guess, if you want to look at it that way. But, yeah, I mean, you've been on Sundays since day one, right?
Since day one. Yeah. Absolutely. And in fact, you know, for the people who don't know, if they've just been listening, say, the last 10 years or so.
Right.
Because I think I kind of switched maybe about 15 years ago. But I pitched that show as just an Italian-American show. And then, but it was very limiting for me because I love all the music from like the 30s through the 60s, you know. And... So I used to try to get around it. So I could play a duet with Bing and Frank, right? You know, I could get away with that. And what I started, I think from the very beginning, was I used to do a songwriter spotlight. Mm-hmm. So then I could play music by Harry Warren, Henry Mancini, Jimmy Monaco, all these different people. But I could have Ella sing Henry Mancini because I'm still keeping to the Italian American theme. So then eventually I kind of wanted to get away from that and I just turned it into a standards. And at that time, which I still give him a hard time about, I wanted to change the name then because I thought, you know, Sunday Music Festa was done originally because it was Italian American.
I don't remember that.
Festa means celebration. I wanted to change the name. Yeah, you know who talked me out of it?
Me.
No.
Who?
Phil Dodd
did, yeah.
Phil Dodd.
What did you want to change it to?
I don't even remember what I was thinking about, but Phil said, he's like, but people already know
it's
the
an
Sunday
institutional
Music Festa.
Thing. Yep.
He says, why change it just because of the one word? He says, you know, it doesn't really
doesn't
make sense.
Difference. One of the things that I will always remember towards the beginning of my time here at the station was when I was trying to crack down on DJs that were doing 2-3-4 minute talk breaks. We had some folks here, bless their souls, that just talked and talked and talked and talked and talked.
Don't you hate it when that happens?
We did a little crackdown, and I made the mistake of trying to do the crackdown with you. Now, What happened was, is you didn't give me a hard time when I put the notice out to everybody or anything like that. But what you did is you did that. You cut talking down on your show. And then people started calling wondering if you were okay. And you did this for a couple of weeks, and the phone calls came, and a couple of your long timers were very concerned that maybe you had a stroke or something happened, and you just sat there with that smug look on your face when I talked to you about it and go, at which point I took the leash off and you do whatever you want again.
Well, you know, the funny thing is I do talk much less now. That doesn't mean I won't sometimes get lost in something and go for 2 minutes or something like 3 minutes. But for the most part, I do it myself now. I cut back because by the way, at the beginning, now I can't remember. I can't remember if I started at 2 or 3 hours, but at some point I was doing 3 hours.
I think you were doing 3 when I first started here.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and then we trimmed it down. We trimmed it down to 2 and then did Sinatra and Company. Right. Yeah.
Right. So so when I cut down to 2 then, you know, I wanted more time to get more music in there. And so I think that, but people, because when it started as an Italian American program, I think in the beginning I even made up flyers saying, you know, while you're making your sauce on Sunday, you know, listen to. And so I would talk about my family. And people ended up really relating to that.
One of the things about your program that I know has been, and I think about shows like the Polka Bandstand show too, is that you've had the opportunity over the past nearly 25 years to grow with your listeners' families, right? You would hear from these folks. They check in with you. You and I would become concerned if one of your regulars didn't call in. That connection to the community that you have that's not really found on the radio anymore, that's pretty incredible.
There was a guy who called. He was from Greece, and he called on my first show, the first Sunday I was on. And he's like, gee, he says, you know, I listened to the station during the week. He says, this is very exciting. He was an Italian-American guy. And his name was Joe. And Joe and his wife, Norma, I ended up going over their house.
Oh, wow.
A few times visiting with them. He called me every single Sunday that I was on the air until he died.
Right.
Every single Sunday.
Right,
and again, I didn't know him from Adam when I started.
Right.
And this was, again, this was back before, like, we all had cell phones or stuff like that.
Right.
He had a daughter at that time who I think was living in Dallas. If they would go for a weekend or something and they were visiting in Dallas, he'd look at his watch to adjust the time difference.
Right.
And he'd wait and call me and say, we can't listen today because we weren't on the web yet.
Right.
He says, we're not listening, but I want you to know the only reason we're not listening is because we're in Dallas. And he would call me. You know, the week, sadly, the week that he was, he couldn't listen because he was in the hospital. And he said, make sure you call Otto and let him know why I didn't call him today.
Yeah.
So, and there was another gentleman who was a double amputee, Al, who I became very close with. And, you know, I remember he called me for a short time for about 2 years. I did a late night program, like on Wednesdays from 10 to 1 or 10 to 2 or something like that. And this guy called me up and he said, boy, he says, I like the stuff you're playing, because it was like one of my first weeks on the air. I really like the stuff you're playing. And I said, well, I also do a show on Sunday. Oh, really? So he started listening on Sunday. But I remember him telling me, he's like, you know, I'm in a wheelchair.
Right.
So I don't get out that much. He says, I have you guys on 24/7. You're like my eyes and ears out in the world. So, those were all really.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, you know, we have our friend Joan now, who, you know, she calls in and checks with me every week. And, that part I've said many times before. I never anticipated
right.
that or expected that, or, you know, we certainly,
right.
for those of us who worked at college radio stations, the best you got was a drunk calling it
from
night,
another
you know.
Dorm,
yeah,
right.
from another dorm or something. So that was unbelievable to me. Yeah. yeah. Definitely.
We're talking with Otto Bruno, host of Sunday Music Fest on Jazz 90.1. And, you know, chop busting aside, what keeps you coming back every Sunday?
Well, now what keeps me coming back are the threats from some of my longtime listeners when I say, maybe I'll retire in another year or so. That's basically it, is their threats and yours.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'll be honest, you know, after 25 years, there are Sundays where I do not want to leave the house.
Yep.
But then there are other Sundays, like this past Sunday, because I had a special show this past Sunday, that I just, you know, I still love doing it. I mean, I've said this on the air many times before, but it definitely bears repeating, because not everybody completely understands the station and how unique it is.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, this station, just for anybody, I mean, again, I started here 25 years ago. Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
The media landscape is totally, totally different
yep.
now. But even then, when I started, after the couple of years, I had people saying to me, gee, you know, wow, you're really good, but they don't pay you anything. Why don't you go get a job on another radio station? And I always said to them, no, I don't think you understand.
And what we do wouldn't necessarily work in the commercial realm, I think.
Forget about whether it would work or not. They wouldn't allow me to do what I do here. That's the point. I tell that to people all the time. I couldn't do mm-hmm. what I do here on a commercial radio station.
Yep, yep.
I really would be limited to 25 seconds, you know, every 20 minutes. Well,
and you'd be forced to record it ahead of time.
And I would be playing 80 commercials an hour, which I can't listen to. So how am I going to do it, you know?
Right.
No, that's the whole thing. This is an all-volunteer station. It's a community station. So, you know, I'm allowed to play what I want to mm-hmm. play.
That's right.
It's my show.
That's right. It's DJ choice.
Nobody else.
You wake up on Sunday morning and you're like, I'm going to play this today. You can.
Yeah. No. And by the way, I do that sometimes. Nobody else. I mean, and again, this is definitely not bravado. This is just fact. No one else can do the show I do.
That's
because
correct.
Because it all comes out of my head.
That's right.
And Rob really has never given me any limitations or, I mean, a request here and there.
I don't even want to try to figure out what's in your head. That's what it comes down to.
No, nobody does.
Yeah,
right. No one deserves that. But, yeah, same with Kim's show or with any of the you know, those individual shows are what they are because of who the people are that are hosting
That's right.
them.
Well, Otto, thank you very much for taking the time to chat. Of course, people listening now can hear your show every Sunday from noon to 2 here on Jazz 90.1. And when is your 25th, your actual 25th?
It'll be January of
25?
2025, yeah.
Okay. All right, so you're at 23 and change right now.
Yeah, I'm at 24. I just said 24.
No, I don't mind rounding up. I think it's fine.
Right. Yeah, it'll be January 2025, correct. It'll be January 25th, 2025.
Yep. That sounds good.
If I'm right on that date, I have to go back and check.
You probably should go back and
2000
because it is my birthday.
If Sunday was the 25th. So.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Otto. I appreciate it. And we look forward to 25 more.
Yeah, I'm glad we're both laughing.
You could do that.
Yeah, right.
Thanks again. Thank you for checking out this episode as part of WGMC at 50, the podcast series celebrating 5 decades of Jazz 90.1 WGMC. Be sure to check back often as we plan to upload new episodes every week or two, celebrating those folks who have come through our doors, making this great radio station what it is today. Also, don't forget to check out our website. Our 50th anniversary page is loaded full of historical pictures, articles, audio, video, and so much more. This is Jazz 90.1 WGMC station manager Rob Linton. Thank you again so much for tuning in.